From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and you know, we're on a mission to ignite an entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love, and we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. It's based around this culture of love, right? Showing some love to your fellow entrepreneur. And today we are back at Haneyville, back with my two children, two people that I love very, very much, who have helped me with this quest and this journey that I've been on. And so we had the show about a month ago where you two joined me on the show. We had a lot of positive feedback. So we are here for episode two from the Ville, from our family compound. And so today, I'm proud to have you back on the show. And last time it got a little bit lively, so we'll see if Ashley and Marcus bring that same sort of personality to the show. But Ashley said she wanted to lead the show today, which is good. So that'll take a little bit of the pressure off of me. And as I turn the mic over to Ash, I do have to say congratulations on winning Realtor of the Year for the Placer County Association of Realtors. We are among somebody, you know, obviously you were the president. You stepped down from that recently, but you were awarded as Realtor of the Year. What's that feel like?
Honestly, it was such a huge shock for me. Obviously, I've dedicated a ton of time to the Association of Realtors, and you know, you're contributing, you're giving back, but there's over 4,000 real estate professionals in Placer County. So it was a true honor when I got that award. I actually cried, and it definitely wasn't on my goal list to get that for this year, but definitely something I'm very honored and proud to be. So it kind of leads me into the discussion that I wanted to have today is, you know, we always grew up setting goals, putting out what we want to do when we grow up. I know you put your goals on the back of your business card, and I'll let you talk about that in a second, but it got me kind of thinking about what were my goals for last year and how did I achieve them? Did I check everything off my list? And subsequently, I had my annual vision board party, which I love to have. I get a group of people together. We cut magazines out. Some people like to put words. Some people like to put pictures. So I had that, and I thought, you know what? How the hell did I even come up with this vision board stuff? Did you teach us this as a kid, or like, where did this come from?
It's. I taught you when you were so young. You don't even remember. It's like you've always been that person. I was kind of a dreamer as a kid. I remember laying in the, you know, I shared a bedroom with my little brother, and you know, we would always lay in bed and I'd, Paul, you want to dream about, you know, getting rich when we grow up and stuff like that. We did that from the time I was a little kid till the time we sold our business. Not laying in bed, but we always were sort of dreaming about what was possible. And I was the sort of the driving force behind the dream, because for whatever reason, my mind works that way. I love to imagine what's possible. And I think because I love that so much, I like to try to imagine or help you imagine what's possible for you. So that's just how I'm built. And some of that, I guess, rubbed off on you because we started doing that kind of stuff so early, and you had big dreams in gymnastics. Marcus had big dreams in football and baseball. So I like to sort of live vicariously through your dreams.
Yeah, Marcus, you're kind of a creative dreamer type too. So did all that rub off on you so good?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe it's because I'm not good at anything else, so I dream a lot. I daydreamed in class growing up too, but really I think, tongue in cheek, I think that I have the ability to kind of see the stars a little bit and how they align. I don't know if that was rubbed off on me, but I think Dad always ensure that we had a dream of our own, right? Mm-hmm. And that was something that we talked around the dinner table often is, hey, what's your dream? What are you doing, right? Is spending the night at your friend's house the night before a gymnastics meet or a football or baseball game is that, leaning towards accomplishing your goals. And that's sort of how we all lived our life growing up, always measuring back to that goal. And I think that's maybe why we are so driven, and always probably you can emulate to my thinking, is I'm always looking for the next opportunity too.
Totally.
And so I think that that's maybe just driven inside of us. And maybe it is based on that, that there's always got to be a carrot to go after, or you're going to get bored, I guess.
So if you were to look at what your goals were for your life, right? You're 37 almost years old. Would you say you've met your goals so far?
No, absolutely not.
What's on your goals for the year?
So for this year?
Sure.
I have a lot of different goals that I could definitely go down parallel, whether it be personal, business, but mostly I think this year my goal is to put into the relationships that I think are the most important to me. My wife just recently married, so I got a lot of effort to put into that. I got two young children, two babies under two, so growing them up and being the best dad possible. And I have three older boys too, so ultimately my goal is to be the best version of myself every day. So I don't really look at it like that, like, what's my goal for this year? It's sort of to get 1% better all the time.
Nice. Dad, how about you? Any reflection on that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I am less goal-oriented, in a way. That might sound funny. Now, there's some things I want to accomplish for this year. We're going to start an opportunity fund within the Growth Factory. Hopefully, we'll start fund two by the end of the year. But I'm around building this backyard advantage. And so I envision these things, right? So for me, it's a picture in my mind, and I try to visualize what that is. And so less around, hey, did I check the box? I want to try to live in a way that puts paints a picture for me. So when I close my eyes, I can picture it. And a lot of that kind of stuff has happened in our lives. Haneyville is obviously a piece of that.
Would you call that manifestation?
Definitely it's manifesting. I think a lot of what has made me happy in life is kind of having that dream and then sort of chipping away. So when I said I really don't have the goals, I have the dream, and these dreams are like the type of things that take years and years and years to build. And so when they begin to come true, it's really gratifying. I used to imagine, these 100 millionaire business partners in my backyard that all love each other and, work together to help one another and help Sacramento. That happened back in 2019. Now we've moved, right? Yeah. I don't live in the same house that that I used to live in. So it's a different backyard that's just coming to fruition. So we've had this visualization, or I've had this visual of what Haneyville could look like. And so we'll have our first backyard party this year in September, where we get these business partners together to talk about all the things we can do together, and for me to reinforce this concept of helping one another and showing some love to one another for the good of each other, but also for the good of the community and of our country. That's going to happen this year, but it's hard to say that that's really the goal for this year. That's just going to happen, and we're going to start a couple of funds, but it's all been, I guess, predicated on this visual, this dream that I've had over the years. So I think in many years, I haven't had these real like goals. Hey, by the end of the year, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that.
That's interesting, because I'm definitely a check off the list person.
Interesting.
So I have, if you go into my office, yeah, I've got my goals. They're quantifiable on my wall, because for me, I have to work backwards from that. And that's in a success business mindset. But then as my personal mindset, for my goals, I don't have a specific set of goals, but I usually do a word of the year. So I pick a word that kind of emulates where I'm at, who I want to be. Last year, my word was simplify. Definitely check if you
did you simplify?
I did get rid of a little bit of baggage. anyways, but this year I decided my word of the year is peace. So I'm trying to implement a little bit more peace in my life. I think I've lived a little bit chaotically, probably because I like to stir the pot a little bit, get a little exciting. But have you guys ever done a word of the year? Have you ever thought about, an overarching concept that maybe you want to
You know what? I haven't done the word of the year, but I have done your vision board with you. Have you done a word of the year, Marcus?
I've never done a word of the year, no.
Maybe that's a girl thing. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think your that's vision interesting board, point, yeah. I think it's a great idea. Your vision board, I've sat through some of your, or I've participated in some of your vision board group exercises over the years, and it's fun. You cut out the pictures of the magazines and, you know, paste them on a little wall, and I don't really know where mine, the last time I did it was a few years back, but, and I think they're tucked in a drawer now, but because they're maybe somewhat less relevant, but I'm still kind of working on some of that same stuff. One of the things that your daughter Riley and I were talking about, I don't know if she said anything to you about this, and so I've been trying to use this as kind of like a manifestation, which might tie to my word of the year. So she and I and your mother are going on a trip to
Italy.
It's like some cruise thing. And so a couple nights ago she came over and you know, we were doing some handstands on the wall in my gym, and I did the handstand, and her boyfriend tried to do a handstand, and then she did a handstand against the wall, and you know, her shirt came down just a little bit. You could see like she developing some abs, right? You could see the definition in her stomach, and I'm like, oh, right, we should do a little contest, a little six pack contest. Right? For our trip. So the trip is in April. So I guess if I had a word of the year, it would be six pack.
Okay.
So she and I are going to have a little competition, or have started a little six pack challenge. So hopefully we can make some progress between now and.
But that might carry into a couple other things. Six pack abs, six pack of Michelob Ultra.
Is this after hours? Or
yeah. What do we got? Marcus, if you could come up with the word of the year, not to put you on the spot, what would you come up with?
If I could come up with a word of the year, put me on the spot. Yeah, that's not very nice. No, it's okay. I'm going to use the word empowerment. I'm going to continue to empower service members to be their very best every single day, and then try to empower people around me. So I'm going to use that today. This week at Allegiant Vets was Empowerment Week, so that was sitting right there for me. Perfect. Easy to grab. But I think in reality, maybe to push into you're saying this year is peace. Mm-hmm. Do you feel maybe sometimes like a year is too long to measure something against? Yeah. You know, I'm more of a 90-day sprint to something and go validate it, right? Maybe it's the Marine in me that wants to go take the hill and have a victory. And so maybe we.
So could, basically, you need 4 words, is what
I
you're
need
saying.
4 words the year. I might maybe talk too much. But maybe, you know, I'm going to push back on you after this. We'll say, hey, maybe we can come up with a word of the quarter that we can all go say. And maybe yours is a six pack. Maybe we come up with something different.
I love that. No, and that's for me. It doesn't have to be set in stone. And I think, too, sometimes your goals get reevaluated as the year goes on.
Yeah, forget about peace all year.
Right. So like for my kids and I, we do kind of one of those 3-month things. We always do a summer bucket list. Hmm. Right. So every summer we write out a summer bucket list of all the things we want to do. Do we want to go to Sunsplash?
Yeah.
Do we want to finish a project? What do we want to do? So the kids and I always do a summer bucket list. So that's kind of your short-term goal. I don't know how I came up with that either, but I know when we were kids, Dad, you used to make us read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and all kinds of stuff like that.
I encouraged that.
Punishment.
There was usually incentives associated with. I feel like what I tried to do is help you become prepared to find happiness and success in your life, because it doesn't come early. And some of the principles in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I think they're kind of like timeless principles of finding a way to find financial freedom. And the earlier that you can begin to get some of those principles on your hard drive, you're more likely to use them as you get older. And part of those principles is, you know, you can go work for other people and get a paycheck and get paid for your hours, or you can get your money to work for you and make some money while you're sleeping, and ultimately have more freedom in your life. That and for me, that freedom has been kind of a key to happiness. And I wanted you guys to have that no matter what you did in life. And I knew that you having financial freedom would help put you in a better position to find happiness.
So did grandma and grandpa do stuff with that, like that with you when you were a kid? Or
my mom and dad, they didn't, no, They didn't. But we did have, you mentioned, or Marcus mentioned, sitting around the family dinner table. And we did talk a lot about our family values. Mm-hmm. So my parents owned a small business. So I heard a lot about what it was like to have a small business and the strategy associated with owning a TV shop and having employees and, you know, some of that, I guess, drama, some of the human drama associated with, you know, building a team and making sales. And, you know, we lived through times in the economy where it wasn't that good during the 70s. There was high inflation, similar to the way that it's been here or is now. And so it was a tougher time for a lot of people. I lived through a time when we're coming out of the Vietnam War, so there was a lot of social unrest. So a lot of these things kind of come back around. And I think it shaped who I was as a father, to sit with my parents and my brothers and sisters at the dinner table and really understand the kind of things that they cared about, which ultimately what I cared most about at that time was sports, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, something I still believe is really, really good for young people.
Absolutely. If I ever write a book, one of my chapters will be Top Athletes Make the Best CEOs. So that's something that I really feel strongly about too. What was that?
Great book title.
Hey, there you go. So Dad, you guys, did you write down your values or you guys just talked about them?
Yeah, we just talked about them. The one thing that I came away with from my mom specifically is really that love, right? Love is a really important thing and that we love each other. She used to say we're rich in love. That way out the memorial tree for her, you know, that's what the slogan's going to be for each of the people. For those that don't know, behind me is this memorial path with three trees, and it goes up to a set of flags. And on the flags, we got the Marine Corps flag, we've got the law enforcement flag, and we have the American flag, and they light up at night. And so there's this memorial pathway, and it's got three trees with people who have passed on before us that mean a lot. My mom first, and then my wife Stacy's sister and my wife Stacy's dad also have trees planted, and each of them have a special tree associated with that. And then there's a little slogan that we're for little plaques that we're building. And for my mom, it says rich in love, because, you know, I always was, for whatever reason, I think this might have came from my dad. It's like he was always dreaming about, you know, building things, and, you know, he didn't really talk about wealth creation necessarily, but he was really, really driven. And I think that rubbed off on me a little bit. So I always wondered if we were rich, and we really weren't rich, but my mom would tell us we were rich in love.
So it sounds like a lot of communication was happening. Is that what you would say?
I think so. I think my mom and dad both, they helped us to believe in ourselves a little bit. My mom, I was a C student. My brothers and sisters were A students. I had A's and B's and a C here and there. I was a decent student, but I'm not a 4.0.
I thought he was going to say I was a D student.
I did get D's. I actually got a few F's, but mainly I was, you know, I was a little above average, I'd say, but not the top in my class like my brothers and sisters. So, but my mom always made me feel like I had a certain kind of intelligence that was above and beyond what they had. And so that always made me feel good. And I don't know that I always believed it, but there was a part of me that believed, I think predominantly because my mom, that I could do things that most people would think were impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I credit that to my mother.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Marcus, obviously you've got little kids, you've got older kids. What do you and Brittany do to talk to the kids about values or goals? Do you guys do anything like that with the kids?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about their goals for the year all the time. We do a lot of home dinners. And so when they're at our house, we always have a conversation. How's your day? What's going on? What's shaking? Luckily, I get to be a little bit more involved in Kaysen's sports. Well, basketball specifically. So we talk about that. But ultimately, our conversations are around what do you want to be as a person? What do you want others to say about you when you're not there? So I think we're kind of from the perspective of always act as if someone's watching, right? And so kind of the Stacey Haney mentality, right? Be the best person in the room every time. And so we try to instill that. I don't know if it always sticks, but, you know, I guess it's maybe I've said it a few times.
Right. Do you have any other mottos that you live by? Like, for me, I know one thing that we always talked about was the harder you work, the luckier you get, right? It's on the wall. Yeah. It's on the printed. Live by that. Do you guys have any mottos or themes like that that you guys try to live by?
You know, maybe one that's developing in me right now as we speak, right? Not everything's easy, right? So this may be the mantra that I've heard in my life, and maybe sometimes you got to reflect on things that you've heard and decide when and where you place them into your own psyche, right? But trust the process, right? And I think that's a really hard thing for people to do, is trust the process and continue to put into something, even though, okay, is it working? I think so. Am I getting better? Yes. But I think that if you trust the process and continue to put one foot in front of the other, then you have a goal associated with that, then I think the outcomes are inevitable if you're unwilling to quit. So maybe a theme for our kids that are good, because, you know, all my boys are not going to be the biggest kids in the world, maybe not the D1 athletes, right? Mm-hmm. But they're always showing up and putting in the work, and hopefully they learn to trust the process.
And I think it's okay to fail too, right? That's a huge, huge
fail
concept.
Fast.
Yeah. Fail fast and fail forward. So, Dad, any concepts that you've...
Yeah, I have, you know, I've got a whole book of them, but let me share the one that comes to mind. And I feel like it's one that... I'm not sure everybody believes this, but everything is figure outable.
Mm, I love it.
The sky's the limit. And I think so many times our beliefs... get trampled on. We end up with these limited beliefs in ourselves, and it kind of gets us thinking smaller than what's possible. So I like to dream a little bit bigger than probably the average person, and I kind of turn it into a quest, mm-hmm. right? So for me, it's like this, I try to pick something that's sort of on the edge of possibilities, like Haneyville, like the backyard advantage, like being the fittest 85-year-old in town. But, you know, I got 23 years, 24 years to get there. So, but I try to put these fantastical type things out there. And, you know, then the quest is like the question, can I figure out how to do it, right? So, and ultimately, if I have that vision out there and I've got long enough to do it, and it's an inspiring enough vision, and I take enough of the right actions, then somehow I'll, you know, stumble my way into the dream actually coming through. And for me, it's fun to like work the quest.
Right.
I enjoy the quest, but it is true that it's figure-outable. I'm living proof, right? I'm the C student from Oakmont High School, voted most likely to be a bum. And, you know, I've built this really special life, not alone, with the help of you guys, with the help of your mother, with the help of my business partners and my teammates. But it's been more like a quest, if you will, to get from these little dreams that I've manifested over the years. So the latest ones are Haneyville and the Backyard Advantage and the fitness guy. But before that, it was other things. It's always been something. It's like with you when you were a little kid, Ash. We took you to the UN Marcus to the Olympics, and we sat up close to watch gymnastics. You were a top performing gymnast, mm-hmm. and you know, you shared ideas of wanting to be an Olympic gymnast. You know, we watched Nadia, the movie. Nadia Comaneci was a famous gymnast, and you memorized that movie as she attempted to, you know, in her quest to become an Olympian, and she ended up becoming an Olympic athlete. And you watched that movie all the time. We went to the Olympics, and the whole idea behind me sort of crafting that, you know, I didn't make you watch the show. I didn't make you go to the Olympics. You wanted to do that. And I couldn't put the dream in your mind, but I could lay out the environment that allowed you to create yourself a dream. And I feel like that's what parents can do, is kind of like create the environment that allows their children to think big and think different. And of course, we're not always going to reach that dream, but that dream led to you becoming a, you know, getting a college scholarship at UC Davis and graduating in like three and a half years. It led to great things, even though the dream evolved a little bit.
I really just thought we went to the Olympics because you got free tickets for Panasonic.
No. we got to do you know, things that I chose things to do that I thought would help create opportunity for you guys. And really, that's what my life is about today as an older guy, is how do I create these, I guess, environments or platforms where people can find opportunity that is less common. And that's what we do with entrepreneurs. That's what you're doing with veterans. That's what I think you've done with real estate agents. But these environments where we can find opportunity. I mean, that's what's happening here at Haneyville. There's all this land and nature where people can go use their imagination, that it's such an opportunity to expand your mind. And so for me, I like trying to create those opportunities. And, you know, that's what we're doing with the Growth Factory.
So we've done all this like touchy-feely talk, but like, this didn't come out of nowhere, because it takes money to build some of these things, right? A lot of this can happen around the dinner table, but creating Haneyville obviously came from a lot of successes. So you talked about not writing down your goals personally. Did you used to write them down with your business, or how did you guys get to being the company that you guys were?
I think the main reason that we got to where we were was the team. I mean, realistically. And when you have a team, communicating with the team is really, really important. So you could have all the drive in the world, but if nobody's following you, then what have you got, right? You're not going to build anything super big or super successful alone. And so I feel like my brother and I and Scott and our other teammates, we did a pretty good job over the years of communicating with one another the direction that we were going. And yeah, that meant a mission statement and core values and philosophies and a vision statement, all written on a big, on the wall in a big, in our offices. And so that people would get sort of indoctrinated in these, you know, this mission, vision, values, philosophies on day one, but when they come to work for us, and it was reinforced throughout the culture.
Yeah. Marcus, what are you doing in your business to set goals? You're creating something pretty special. So what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I think that your point is well received. And I think an interesting part about what we do is it's virtual. And so that becomes an interesting, complex challenge when people are not there, right? There's no writing on the wall. There's no slapping each other's hand on on an opportunity. And so kind of going back to the basics on that for us is getting back to making sure all of our teams communicating, reducing the amount of, since we're virtual, the amount of applications we're using as a company, right? Kind of fine tuning processes and creating Loom videos and things like that to ensure that the processes are, you know, flowing and everybody's on the same page, because communication's huge. And so that's something that we talk about daily at our organization, is ensuring that everybody's communicating, having scorecards, right? Scoreboards, so people can kind of reflect on what they're doing and ensuring that they're achieving, hopefully, what the company objectives are.
But I also think, though, sorry to interrupt you, Ash, if somebody's listening, and because you brought up that I had success and that's led to some other stuff, but small successes when you're 20, 21, 22, 24, or even older, these small successes can sort of build on each other. So just because one person is, it sounds like, you know, they're starting at this big level that might even seem scary or out of your league at the moment, it doesn't mean that, you know, just buying your first home is a major accomplishment.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And then maybe that home turns into a rental property and you buy another one. These kind of things happen. That's where we, your mother and I started. She got a job working for the city of Roseville and then got moved from typist clerk one to typist clerk two, right? And at the same time, we're buying the second home, that type of thing. It's like we're basically building and these little minor successes are minor. They're huge. When you're in your mid-20s, you start building upon one another. And so it's really a life that gets built, you know, one small win and a lot of failure along the way at a time. So
no, I agree with that completely. And I love that you said that, because one thing that I try to do, especially being a single mom for all these years, you know, and raising the kids, is celebrating those small wins. And so it is truly a family sacrifice to run a business. Entrepreneurs are sacrificing their families invested. And for me, my kids are having to sit in the back of the car and be quiet and go show houses and pretend they're not there. It might even be on Christmas Eve on the way to dinner. So I implemented a thing where every time I sell a house, the kids and I go to dinner. Nice. So we go have a dinner and I can thank them for the sacrifice that they're making also. So I think even the smallest wins or big wins, celebrating those along the way is huge, and really appreciating what we have, because it is a true family effort.
You guys go to Bennett's?
We do. We love going to Bennett's, especially the Roseville location.
Yes.
Brian Bennett is amazing. So Marcus, my question for you though is, how do you motivate people virtually? That's gotta be an obstacle, because we've never had to deal with that, right? And so you're over here motivating people virtually, creating a team effort. We're so hands-on as a family. We're so, like you said, high five, great job, mission statement on the wall. How do you navigate through this new space?
Hi. Carefully, you know, it's also always learning, right? And so we're always trying to implement new things that work, right? And I think that ultimately in a virtual environment, you got to bring energy, and hopefully you have teammates mm-hmm. around you that bring the same energy. And I think if you can, you know, replicate that time and time again, that it'll all come together. But it is challenging, right? So yeah, I think that is one of the things that, you know, you're always looking at as a leader. Okay, how do I encourage people? Am I saying the right things? Am I outlining the vision well enough? So I think that those are always things that I try to get better at every day.
Right. And leaning on your teammates, leaning on your wife. She comes in and brings you lunch to support you.
Yeah.
You know, having those people around you is so important. Dad, you had people around you all the time. How did you get your people all fired up?
Well, I think one of the things that it helps if you care about what they care about.
Yeah.
And so some of those things, it's hard to know that unless you communicate with them, unless you listen. So
yeah.
For me, understanding what my teammates and business partners care about, and then them knowing what I care about and seeing where those desires might align or overlap. If you can find those kind of moments or those kind of paths or intersections, I feel like that's a good step, because people care about how much you care about them.
Yeah.
And I'm not perfect at that for sure, but it's something that I know works. I've seen it work. I've been a part of it working. And I think one of the things about my personality, and it may not, you know, might be look like a little bit of a weakness, but I really care about other people and, you know, their success and their happiness. And hopefully that comes through.
Yeah. And obviously we always got to be looking within, and like Marcus said, try to be 1% better each day. And sometimes that comes with failure along the way, and having to get up and still show up. Even when it's uncomfortable and when you're not feeling like the best version of yourself. I mean, I just went into this a few months ago on my personal life. I mean, obviously it's been a shit show the last year. And so I realized I had to get back to basics, and I have an amazing counselor that I go to, and it allows me to go and look within and be able to say, hey, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. And what could you have done better? And we do that a lot at home too. We do a lot of communicating, but I think it's okay to not be okay sometimes and realize that this is just a moment to pivot. Have you had to go through that?
Many, many times. In fact, when you say everything's going to be okay, I remember when Marcus was in Afghanistan, you know, we knew he was at war, getting shot at, and that, you know, when your mom and I would go through these real stressful things, you know, I give her a hug as on my way out to the gym at Zero Dark 30, and I would always say to her, everything's going to be all right, and we sort of reinforce that with one another. But I think we can create habits like that that sort of reinforce or put us in the right mindset to deal with our challenges. So I've always been that person that gets up while everybody else is still asleep and kind of have my alone time. Mm-hmm. And for me now, it's in the gym. I have, you know, we built what I call the Renaissance room, right? So my rebirth as the old guy. And so what I've done is I've put that room, I've set it up so that my mind doesn't take me to other places as often, because, you know, our focus is really the key to what we achieve in life. If we're focusing on the negative or focusing on the wrong stuff or the stuff that we can't control or what somebody might have said about you or, you know, all this stuff that's like, you know, we can like drive ourselves crazy with wondering about all these things that may or may not be true, may or may not happen. And so if we can get ourselves, or for me, if I can get myself to a mode of spending time thinking about the things that are important to me, the people that I'm grateful for, what I want to achieve in my life. If I can spend more time thinking about that, more time how I'm going to win the morning, create the perfect day, my mind can be in that mode.
But I got payroll to make.
Yeah.
Man.
But
payroll.
Well, you can get up, you know, 30 minutes earlier and put your mind in that, and then you will hit the, you know, when you hit the work, hit the gym, hit the job site, hit what you're trying to accomplish, you're going to hit it with the right mindset. Because if you hit it with the mindset of, oh no, there's 1,000 things and, you know, my life is out of control, now I got to go in and make payroll, right? You're not going to be as likely to make payroll. Okay. So you got to make payroll. But if you aren't right, if we don't get ourselves right, yeah, who are we to help make payroll or drive success for other people or whatever our goals are on our vision board? It's like, who are we to do that if we're walking into the office, walking into the gym, walking onto the job site without the right mindset?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's critical. And I think that goes back to me trying to get back to basics on some of those things. And I rejoined the gym and just putting you first, because if your mental health is good, then you're going to be the best version of yourself for your people, right?
But I will tell you, though, I sound like I've got it all figured out. And it's hard because we all want to search social media or watch YouTube or turn on the news, watch CNBC, what's going on with the Niners. You know, all these things are distractions that take away. It's like you mentioned earlier, you spend the night at the kid's house the night before a big game. Is that really the best decision? Well, a lot of these things that we do that society has placed in front of us are pretty interesting, and it makes you want to go do them. And so I think limiting what those things are, developing yourself the ability to say no to some of those distractions, even if it's for 30 minutes a day in the morning, if you can create a habit of doing that, then that leads to creating other times throughout the day where you're able to block it out as well. So it takes a little bit of self-discipline, and yeah, I think it's okay to take a minute to get into those mindsets. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, invariably, people are going to criticize you.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the interesting piece of that, is it's a very, what can be perceived as a very selfish behavior. Your mom might think, what, you know, your mom doesn't care what I do at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, but, you know, saying no to, you know, I can't go to every little league game that's, you know, open to, or hockey game. You can't say yes to everything because it's a full-time job. I can't say yes to every opportunity. I've got to be somewhat selective and pick the right choices so that it aligns with where I want to go, enough of each of them so that I'm moving each of them in the right direction at a certain level.
Well, I would say you're the most disciplined person I know by far, period.
I don't think I am.
Well,
but
I think maybe you put yourself in a routine-oriented environment. So
because I'm not self-disciplined.
Okay, so yeah. That's a really interesting point, yeah. Right? So you would say, personally, I'm not very disciplined, when the rest of us are like, hey, dude, I know where you're going to be. Ding, 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 ding. I know your car drives down. I see it at 5 a.m. every morning.
You know what time you go to bed.
Right. And so to me, if as a person who you say is inherently undisciplined, how do you stay between the beacons, right? Is it, okay, I'm committed to doing that. So I guess what you're saying is put the vision before everything else.
If your vision is cool enough.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
If your vision's badass enough, then
discipline's not an issue.
You got,
yeah.
That's a thing. I think, you know, we talked about limiting beliefs is if it's not pro football player, you know, if I'm going to be a pro football player, well, that's exciting enough where I can miss spend the night at some kid's house, right? If the dream is exciting enough to you, then it's a little easier to commit to a routine that, you know, that keeps you on track.
So dream big keeps it more exciting for your psyche to say, okay, I'm not going to waver off the path because I want to land a helicopter out there in the middle of the yard. Right? I mean, is that what you're saying?
My dream is not to have the helicopter. I feel like one of the interesting things for me is some of my dreams are already in the process of coming true. And so at my age, you know, like what's next?
Yeah,
what exactly. How do you expand upon that? And that's, you know, so those are some of the challenging things that happen to you as you start checking off some of those the vision's actually coming through. So you can spend a certain amount of your time sort of celebrating that and being grateful, and I do maybe spend too much time doing that, but then what's next and how do you develop the next big
stay hungry dream? yeah
and I do think it's a little bit different. You're at a totally different phase of your life than mm-hmm. Marcus and I are. I kind of refer to it as a work-life unbalance, right? As soon as you feel like you're comfortable, something shifts. Marcus, do you have routines like Dad does? Mine are, I stick to my calendar like nobody's business.
Yeah, calendar.
But I can't say that my routines are anything like yours, especially in my line of work. I could have someone call me right now and want to go see a house or my kids home from sick from school. Routines are hard. I have non-negotiables on my calendar. But Marcus, how do you get through your work-life unbalance?
With two small kids, it's tough. Sleepless in the Haney household has been the name of the game lately. So that affects your whole world a little bit and kind of throws things off. So I wake up early most mornings and I typically listen to a book. I wish back in the day they would have had Rich Dad Poor Dad on Audible, so I would didn't have to. So I'm an Audible guy. So I stick to that. And then I try to be home early on Fridays.
Okay.
It's sort of my commitment to Britt is like, hey, look, I'll be home before 5 o'clock on Friday so we can go grab a date night or do something like that. I need to be more disciplined on the physical fitness side. Luckily, you know, that'll be changing here soon. I got a little fitness center going into my house. So I'm super excited about that, where I can get away for an hour with five kids. You know, it's tough to find some time to yourself being taxi, coach, and cuddler at night. So what about you? How do you do it?
Yeah, like I said, my calendar is everything to me. I at the beginning of each week, too, I write down my top five personal and top five professional goals that I have to get done for the week. And those are non-negotiable. So if those are not done, my week is not over. So each week I have
on a Sunday, you write them?
Usually I'd like to do Sunday night. Sometimes it goes to Monday morning. And then I always have a team meeting Monday morning, late morning, to get everybody on track so that they know what those goals are too. Because honestly, if my team knows what the expectation is from me, and what I'm expecting from myself, then they're going to be able to be more productive too. So that's how I communicate with my team. And that, again, back to the checklist, I'm a big checklist person. So that that works for me. But also surrounding myself with really good people too. I obviously the kids are great and your spouses are great, but like they say, what, you're a product of the top five people you spend the most time with too. I think it's really important to have a really good support system outside of the people that live under your same roof. And so I'm really lucky to have some really good friends that I can rely on. Or if I'm struggling with something professionally, I know who I'd call, somebody personally. And I'm just really grateful for those people and those relationships, because that keeps me sane too.
I love that, because I think who we spend time with, anything we consume, whether it be, you know, the things we see out there, the books that we read, the media that we consume, and the friends that we have, they all have some sort of influence on us. And I think finding a way to productively carve out the ones that are not as good of an influence and the ones that are a better influence, it's hugely important. So you can see what I've done in terms of carving and shaping the friendships that I have. And maybe even you can be really proactive about that. And some people feel bad about that, but I think you can be proactive about that. One of the things that I decided on early on is that I want to spend time with the people that uplift me, which is mainly my family, but also my business partners. And that's why I spend a lot of time around entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs are some of the most driven people in the world. And so if I get around these innovative, driven people that are really bending over backwards to try to figure out a way to change the world in a positive way, I feel like it makes me a better person. So I'm around people that are totally inspiring to me.
Yeah, you got EO, right? Those guys are entrepreneurs organization that you've been a part of for a long time. I never knew back when I was a kid, you didn't really have like a lot of friends that you hung out with until you got this new group of dudes. You sneak off to God knows Costa Rica,
where we go next,
Vegas, hanging out with Dana White and all that good stuff. So you found yourself a cool friend group that are your same minded type individuals. And what do they say? Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another, right? So being yourself around the right kind of people ultimately, has that changed your perspective on what's capable, right?
Well, I have always believed that having that right friend group is right. And so my friend group was focused around work, because if you don't have time to go out and hang with the dudes when you're trying to, you know, you got kids and you're trying to, you know, make everything come together. So I found that at work and with my brother, Paul, some of my other teammates at work, I found that friend group at work, and we had really driven people that were like-minded in many ways. But I do think that being around people that have achieved more than you, or being around people that you aspire to be like in some ways, that you want to learn from, those are really good people to be around, because that's why we started the show.
Right.
I started the show. You guys helped me. Marcus, you were there. Started off, it was going to be me and Ashley doing a real estate show, pivoted over to entrepreneurship, and you helped me get that going. And we chose entrepreneurship because it was something unique. If we could share the stories of Dale Carlson and Kevin Nagel and the most successful people in Sacramento that most people don't get a chance to be around, that I've always wanted to be around because they inspired me and, you know, they're great people to learn from, made me think bigger. I felt that was really healthy for the entrepreneurial community of Sacramento, and for even my kids and grandkids, it would be helpful for you to hear these stories. It's a passion project to help get those stories out there that I feel like I missed out on at some level, because I was head down, butt in the air, trying to build a business, trying to, you know, raise my family. And I didn't really come up for those times to seek those mentors, if you will. So EO and some of the entrepreneurial groups that I'm in and around, they definitely inspire me to think bigger, think differently. So, I feel like they've helped me grow over the last several years.
Those are great organizations for the overall business community too, right? They're investors in funds. They're mentors for startups. They're the people that are giving their time back to help the next ones in line. And I think, you know, when you look at what is coming to the future, maybe of our world a little bit, we were talking about this maybe before the show, a little bit entrepreneurship and AI and what's going on. How do you guys have those kind of conversations as a boys group? Like, hey, we see what's going on. Can we do anything together?
We always talk about my group. So EO is this worldwide organization, and Sacramento has a chapter with roughly 100 people in it of entrepreneurs that have had a certain amount of success. And then we're broke up into these forums with about 10, 11 people in my forum, and they're very successful people.
You got the coolest
forum. And yeah, there's other cool forums as well. And but my group, we talk about business and investing and things like that all the time. And one of the things that we talk about is sort of cutting edge type of stuff.
Right.
You brought up artificial intelligence. You know, the speed at which artificial intelligence is coming onto the scene is like nothing I've ever seen before. And it's really interesting to think about. One of the discussions that came up at EO, 6 months ago, is, you know, we're talking about ChatGPT and artificial intelligence and all this stuff, but these businesses that are being created to use artificial intelligence to basically create a friend for yourself.
I was or just going to ask that.
Or a girlfriend for yourself, right? So my group has a bunch of guys in it, and so we were kind of joking about the fact that there are businesses, and people in my forum know people with businesses, they own businesses that have created simulated friends and simulated girlfriends, and they're very, very realistic.
Is that considered cheating, or how do you you know?
Are you married? I think if you're single, it's probably okay.
Yeah, well, and with AI too, they've got all of the counseling services and everything, and you feel like you're talking to a live person. What is that gonna do for the future of friendships then?
I think it's interesting to think about how that might shape, you know, for sure, people your age and below, your kids' age. For, I think, the people my age, it's probably not going to have much effect. We're going to sit back and laugh about it.
Well, people your age and even our age, they used to have pretend friends, right? They had Bob, their friend, they took around.
Rock.
They'd start talking to him next door. I mean, that's literally happening right now.
Well, yeah. In my day, I think when I was in my early 20s, they had like 900 numbers. So you could call like 1-900 and talk to some woman. And for, you know, 5 minutes, it might be like $5 or $10. I never did it, but they advertised it all the time. They advertised all the time, and you could actually call up and talk to somebody to make you feel like you had your little secret friend.
When we were kids, shameless, sorry, at my private school, we would use the payphone and we'd call 1-800-WET-LADY and see who would answer the phone. So people
was it 900 or 800?
It was an 800, so I don't know. But no, they don't have, kids don't even know what payphones are anymore. So it'll be interesting to see with these fake friends if they carry pictures of them around, or you get to...
Well, do your kids sit on FaceTime with their friends?
Yeah,
my kids too, right? When I was a kid, obviously I had to wait till they got home and call their house and ask their mom, hey, can come out and play, you know, type of deal. And now these kids are sitting there with their phone, literally videoing themselves full time. Hey, dude, you know, they're live chatting with their buddies on an iPad. It's like, man, okay, that's an interesting cultural thing. And so if the kid is fake, potentially it can be your soulmate, right? Your best buddy for, I think it's maybe good.
Well, I think we're going to have that with robots too.
Also like a hardware version.
I think for sure that's already upon us. You know, my buddy Uriah Faber, he is...
The role robot, right?
He's got a little robot that you wrestle with. Yeah. And he's, you know, they're selling them all over the world.
Wow.
And you get to practice wrestling with your little wrestling buddy.
I watched the video on it. It makes like the actual arm noise too.
Yeah, it's incredible. But this, we aren't even in the first inning. We're just like seeing, you know, we're at batting practice before the game right now in artificial intelligence. It is coming upon us very fast. Each of us will have multiple robots and agents working for us to help us live our life more effectively and to make us happier potentially, right? Because they're secret friends, or maybe to get the work done for us that we don't want to do. And so we are I'm really excited to be living through this really rapid change in technology that's happening way faster than cell phones, the immersion of cell phones or the internet or, you know, color TV, these other things. It is happening so much faster than any other technology that has occurred in my lifetime.
You've watched quite a few technologies evolve, right? You've kind of, weirdly, as untechy as you are, you have sort of been at the forefront of security technology and video technology at a couple different timelines, and having this be a accelerated timeline on, hey, where does that mean for, like, okay, I'm conversating with service members on, hey, what should you be when you get out over the next 6, 12, next 10 years of your life? What do you want to be? So it's an interesting conversation for me. It's like, okay, what does that mean for the workforce?
I think it's going to be huge for you. And just like we were talking about your business motivating people virtually, these are going to be your right-hand people. And so us just staying open-minded to the possibilities probably going to impact your business the most out of any of ours.
Yeah, I definitely think open-minded is the right way to think of this, because, you know, if you think back to when I was a kid, you go get a trade and you get a job and you're going to do that for 30, 40 years, retire and get the gold watch and back in my day. But I think our young people are going to have multiple careers. And so the ability to think on their feet, to have belief in themselves, to figure things out, be ready to shift as societal trends change, as opportunities surface, that's really the key skill to have, is be ready to be a good decision maker when the time is right to go.
Yeah, well, then you see like the stuff like DeepSeek coming out of maybe it's, oh, is this the time, right? And then they come out with a whole new game-changing service, a technology for a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
And we are sitting here as a competitor in the marketplace as a country, right, saying we're going to invest billions and trillions of dollars into AI. And these guys come out with the democratized Walmart version that outplays our technology. And it's like, okay, the time is now. We probably need to start thinking about what that looks like so we can stay on the competitive landscape and not get left behind as a human, right?
Absolutely. And DeepSeek, for anybody who might not be familiar with it, is kind of like a ChatGPT or OpenAI kind of platform that was built in China for what they say is under $10 million. Yeah. So it was built really affordably, comparatively speaking, and it's open source, so other people are going to be able to tap into it. I think what this says is that it's happening faster, because if you can build something like that cheap, what does that mean for democratizing entrepreneurship for the rest of us? That's what the internet did. It created so much opportunity, this playground for entrepreneurs to build businesses on. Artificial intelligence is going to be that same kind of thing. Same thing with robots and AI agents. If you have the imagination, you can build whatever you want from wherever for a fraction of the cost. And it's kind of like that Moore's law where things get cheaper and faster. That's what's happening with AI. It's getting cheaper, faster, and the adoption curve is extremely fast.
So how do we implement those things with still keeping that human touch, human interaction of a real life relationship? How do we overcome that?
Well, I think we have to spend time with people. Yeah. I think the fact that your kids are all in sports, you know, you guys have coached, and Marcus, you're coaching basketball now. It looks like you might coach football and recruit me back potentially.
Heck yeah, we do.
These are the kind of things that gets us learning really how to win,
right,
how to communicate with one another, how to think, how to compete, how to lose and deal with it, right? These kind of things are the things that we have to put ourselves in those, what I'll call real world environments, about survival and winning and building tribes, working within tribes. These are the kinds of things that will never go out of style, regardless of how much technology we have.
Agreed. Community is number one.
Absolutely. And so thank you for letting me be nice and touchy-feely, talking vision board, people, all of that. But I'm going to let you finish us out, Dad, and close us out if you have any last minute thoughts or questions.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think you did a great job of leading us.
Yeah, I tried my first
Marcus,
time.
I love the things, you know, you're pushing on the cutting edge stuff. You didn't get into the conspiracy theory stuff too much. So
not today.
On the next show.
Maybe I'll lead next
we
time.
Get to, we'll we get to the competitive Marcus Haney in trying to get world domination and make sure China doesn't beat us up on AI.
I'm red, white, and blue, baby. I want to make sure we stay ahead. I mean, that's important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I think it shows, to me, this was an example of a family communicating some of the things they think, some curiosity from the younger generation to the older generation, the older generation trying to understand what's going on with the younger generations as well and trying to be included in that so that we can, you know, I can maintain some amount of relevancy to what's going on in your lives. But I hope that everybody out there listening can find that within their family. I think having these family conversations is doesn't have to be a thing of the past. It should be a thing of today. It should be a thing that we aspire to do with our families. And so carve out that time to get yourself right. Carve out that time to get your family right. And carve out that time to go out and figure out a way to change the world. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you, we're never below you, always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.